Breaking the Panel is made possible by you and other listeners just as awesome as you are. If you want to support the show and get a little something in return, just go to patreon.com/breakingthepanel, because we do appreciate the help.
So Mike, our great producer who was on the show last week, he has actually binge-watched all of Justice League Action. Mike says it's very much worth your time. He says, I've seen all the available episodes of Justice League Action, and while it's clearly meant for a younger demographic, there is so much here for guys like us to love.
To be fair, when Mike says, you know, it's for a younger demographic, I mean, anything past the advent of talkies is basically...
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Love you to do, but you're the greatest of the
guys. Guys, we seem to have lost Chris's signal. There seems to be some sort of interference. We may have to do the rest of the show without him. Carry on as if he wasn't here.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
And welcome to Breaking the Panel, your holiday edition, because, you know, why would you take off? We have too much fun hanging out with each other. We be bros, yo! That was stupid. Carry on. So, the Rock and Roll
Podcast. And this will be Charles McCall's last show.
No, this is the show that keeps on giving. You know, you'll be able to cut and paste that and screw with me for a long, long time. The voice you just heard is Paul Klotz.
Yeah. Disappointed, yeah. Paul Klotz.
He is the sad angel on my shoulder. The devil in the room, by all accounts, Chris Wisdom.
Can I at least be the coked up devil?
See, and of course, I'm the Rock Out of Podcasting, Charles McFall. We've got a jam-packed show, and we've got a little bit of time to do it in. But first off, I want to say I'm very much still looking forward to seeing Rogue One. So these two are chomping at the bit, angry with me. But we're going to be doing that show in the next time we record. But I did want to get your guys' pushback on that College Humor video when it came across my Facebook feed last night. It just cracked me up. It was about breaking balls and could lead to yanking chains, and it just cracked me up, because that is our show almost in a nutshell, about how we harp on things until it just gets old. What did you guys think about the video?
Oh, I loved it, but you are old, so
you're such a, see, that's the comment I said. Chris was, you're such a dongle, and you make me laugh every time. Because, you know, we censor on this show. We try to, at least.
I'm just really glad that it brought some focus and light to the plight of those like yourself who are very sensitive.
Oh my God, Paul, you gotta wait. Charles, you need to be doing the piano music. You have it on the board.
I did, but I think it's gone now. Yeah, it's not up there anymore.
You know, yeah. I mean, I always like something like that. That brings focus and attention to the real important social matters, like your whiny ass and... Oh, silence. I've offended the Dark Lord. So it was good times. Yeah. College Humor, again, can we just say College Humor's been crushing it for a long time?
Yeah. They have been. Funny or Die, not so much in my opinion. I know it does have a place in the world. But Funny or Die, I go, okay, I see why I think people would find it funny. I just don't. But College Humor definitely knocks it out of the park every time. Because I love that. It's like, you know, what do you say? I considered killing myself or something. Because, well, no, not really. I just punched a wall. I was like, God, the dark humor on that was so right up our alley. That was funny. So that's awesome. Now, hey, con season, that is any kind of convention for comic books, those kind of things. It's the holidays, right? From Thanksgiving to New Year's, pretty much con season's over. But that's it. It's those like 6 weeks. It kicks back again in January, and we want everybody to know we are available to make appearances at your con. If you can help us come out there, we will show up. If you want to do a digital appearance, we can do that as well. We love doing cons. We're going to be doing Dragon Con again this year. That's the only one that's locked in so far. We got some others in the works, and we want to come and hang out with you guys, do the live show, do some Q&A. I think that's your favorite part, isn't it, Klotz? You want to do the Q&A about building networks and just what we do in general, and
yeah, stuff and
stuff. Yeah. So, and of course, Chris Wisdom in public, plus alcohol, possibly, it's going to get crazy.
I just want to form a great big public support group for everybody who has to put up with you.
Are you talking to Chris or me?
You.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
I love Chris. I mean, we take shots at each other, but that's all in good fun. You're the devil of the room.
Yeah.
You're the one with the blind throw cuts. Like, hey, Klotz, what do you think? I don't know. I wasn't thinking because you were talking. And when you talk, I turn my brain off.
After over a year, you would think you could keep
over
up with
year,
old man.
We've been podcasting together for what, like 3 years now? And you still just like ramble, throw to Klotz.
Boom.
And you get silence every time, and it's your own damn fault. And,
you know, hey, if Joe can pick up on it, I think you can step up too.
I don't think it's about Joe picking up on it. I think it's about you continuing to touch the hot stove. The coils are red for a reason.
They're angry.
Well, whatever. It's fine. I'm going home now.
And Charles, don't tell me about your favorite kid. You're not supposed to have favorites, okay?
Never mind. This is going to get ugly fast. So yeah, we're available to bring this show to you. Hit us up at btp@giantsizeteamup.com. That's B as in breaking, T as in the, P as in panel, @giantsizeteamup.com. We'd love to bring it to your town. So Mike, our great producer who was on the show last week, he has actually binge-watched all of Justice League Action, and he's got a note, but I don't remember us talking about it. I know Young Justice got a new season. I don't remember much about Justice League Action, so who wants to set that up for us before we read the comment?
Well, Justice League Action is just the newest Justice League cartoon that's on Cartoon Network. They're doing it in, I want to say, their 15-minute episodes, and they do them two at a time. So it's kind of... it's kind of a halfway between the old Justice League Unlimited and Teen Titans is where the humor is.
The original Teen Titans, is that the
original Teen Titans.
Okay,
So there's a lot of personality and interplay with the heroes from what I've seen in the clips. Like, there's some good stuff with Batman and Green Arrow, and they're kind of playing on it. I think from what I've seen in articles and stuff, I haven't been able to watch all of them yet. That they're kind of playing off on. Arrow basically replacing Batman on CW. So I think there's a lot of digs about villains and rogues galleries and things like that. So,
nice.
It does look pretty good. The clips that I've seen have made me want to do nothing more than binge watch it. I just haven't gotten the opportunity yet.
Well, Mike says it's very much worth your time. He says, I've seen all the available episodes of Justice League Action, and while it's clearly meant for a younger demographic, there's so much here for guys like us to love. And I clicked on the link, and the link is just this GIF that is rolling over and over and over. GIF that is rolling over and over and over.
I second that motion.
Of Batman. I don't care. The guy who invented it says I'm correct.
I know. I'm backing you. I second your motion. Okay, thank you. Settle down. But to be fair, when Mike says, you know, it's for a younger demographic, I mean, anything past the advent of talkies is basically...
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Love you to death, Mikey, but you're the grayest of the bushes.
You couldn't have been the grayest of the joys and done a double thing there. Anyway, so it's really cool. It looks like a video game, and the thing is that... let me scan this thing here real better than I did. Who did this? Toyman captured members of the Justice League and put them in this VR type game. And the headline is Chris all the way. Justice League Action gives us the Batman Superman fight we actually wanted.
Yeah.
As long as Batman still wins, I'm good. I don't care. So, but it's a lot of fun stuff going on, and it does an 8-bit version. And there's even a nod to Superman using his infamous emblem toss from Superman 2. And it's just a lot of fun. And that's from io9.gizmodo.com.
So, Charles.
Yeesh.
8-bit was Nintendo. 16-bit was Super Nintendo.
It says 8-bit in the article.
Well, then this is horrible because that is clearly Super Nintendo graphics.
I know. I didn't make it up. Dude, do not even pretend to school me on where games came from. You were in diapers when I was spanking Zelda.
That's all right, because I grew up on Atari 2600. So
me too.
You lose again, sir.
Hand me down, sir. Sir.
Gentlemen. Sir. Gentlemen, we're all in our 30s.
Some of us are more progressed in their 30s than others.
Yeah, so we see the holidays in the U.S. bring out the Grinch and Chris.
All right, calm down.
Chris puts the X in Xmas. So, have you gotten to see any of this yet, Klotz?
No, I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Yeah, me either. I got I'm a cord cutter, and Cartoon Network's app is okay. There's one on like a tablet. You know, I haven't looked on the iOS version, but I know my kids had it on their tablets, and they could watch clips and things, but it never seemed like whole shows. So I really would like to check this out. I'm hoping maybe they'll make it easier for me and put it on Netflix in a couple of months or something.
There's good sized clips on stuff on YouTube. So
okay. Well, I mean, it's 15 minutes. The whole thing is barely an episode. Yeah. That's an extended clip almost, in my opinion.
And I believe that's 15 minutes with commercial. So.
Wow. So that sounds like how Adult Swim used to work at night. They never actually had episodes. It was basically 10-minute shorts, and then they do a commercial, and that'd be the 15 minutes type of deal.
Well, I mean, they were episodes. They were just, you know, 15-minute shows. You know,
way to bring it down, Clots. I appreciate you.
I mean, like, you spout nonsense. I correct it. That's how we work around here.
I said it was a 10-minute short plus commercials.
Is this just you're a 10-minute
but
short.
You literally said that they're not episodes, and they are episodes.
I don't count that as a. How is that an episode?
And okay, anything
look,
that has a serial nature and is, you know, a segmented, self-contained story, and then the next time you watch it is another one, that's an episode. All right.
Even if they're 10 minutes long?
Yes.
So now we understand why
well,
the girlfriend's
fair,
an X now.
Let's be fair. Most shows that show on network television are only about 10 minutes actually long, you know, like of actual content. in between all the product placement and the commercials. And
you want to get controversial, we can talk about Westworld if you finished it.
I have not finished it, so okay. We're not talking about it this week.
Okay, fair enough.
Sounds like we're talking about Westworld and Rogue One, because I'm the double winner. I don't love my family.
See, I thought about making that joke and said, no, I'm just going to leave it there. And then, of course, Ballbuster Extraordinaire does it. There you go. Have you guys seen Justice League Dark trailer?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I saw it for the first time last night. I am very, very happy with it. It makes me excited. I would like to check that out. Do we have a release date?
I'd have to look. There is a release date, but I can't remember off the top of
my head. And that's straight to Blu-ray DVD, right?
Yes.
On demand, all that jazz.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's really cool. So while he looks that up, I'm going to go ahead and go, hey, jump over to Facebook, facebook.com/breakingthepanel. You can get in on these conversations. You can hit us up with your favorite previews, your comments on shows you like, you dislike. It's all open game. And 2 weeks is the spoiler. And I believe that Westworld is out of that, but I want Klotz to be a part of the conversation. So we're going to wait till he can possibly finish that up. Yeah. Did you find the release date?
It should be first quarter of next year. So I was thinking it was January, February, okay. Sometime.
Yeah, there you go. First quarter of next year. Now, who brought in the Mark Miller article?
Oh, that was me. That was
knock
me.
It
so,
out.
Mark Miller, the writer of Civil War, the first Civil War, and I believe, I can't remember if he's doing two or not. Probably not, because it's all by all accounts is not very good. He takes has some issues with Captain America Civil War, and his main issue is that it's lacking in humor. Now, to be fair, he also hits the other side of the aisle, and he just, in broad strokes, he's saying that that's what a lot of comic book movies are missing out on these days, is the humor, which is really weird that the guy that created and wrote Kick-Ass and
right.
and wrote Civil War, because, you know, that was a laugh riot. He just... would say that there's not enough humor. And I think what he's hitting on is something that is fairly true to a point. Like, we all want a little bit more reality grounding in the comics to a certain degree. We want them to have some of those adult tones. And I think that's because of where we are in life. You know, we're adults, so we want some more mature themes and some more adult content and storylines. But at the same time, that's not necessarily what drew us into comics. You know what I mean? That's to quote Paul. that is a is some of that magic and that wonder when you're a kid, and you don't necessarily get that outside of the, you know, the airport fight scene, and even that's hero versus hero. So I kind of get where he's coming from. He said the same thing about Superman Dawn of Justice and Suicide Squad. He did say that he's more of a DC fan, but he's just not getting anything. And that's comics wise. But on the movie side, he said he doesn't understand why WB can't make the live action work the way they're doing it on their DVD and TV programming. Because he said they have the right formula in those two departments. And I would wholeheartedly agree.
I'm going to let you finish. Was the greatest comic book movie of all time.
Go for it.
So I read this just a few minutes ago, and I cannot disagree with him more in his assessment of Civil War. Like, I wonder if he saw the same film that the rest of us did. Because, like, and the other thing is, you said that he criticized both sides of the aisle, but he really didn't criticize the DC side stuff. He kind of defends it and says, well, that's just the direction that they've decided to go. And I'm like, well, but that's bad. Like, everybody, like, almost universally, the feedback is that DC's direction is not working out. But Civil War was a funny movie. Like, there is tons of comedy in that movie it's not kick-ass slapstick.
No,
you know what
right.
I mean? Yeah. Which is fine, because, I mean, you know, I don't know what he expected. Like,
yeah,
Civil War was a serious storyline. Like, I mean, he was at the helm of mm-hmm. a serious comic book crossover storyline that had a lot of weight to it. Civil
a
War,
lot.
The film, has some weight with it and its undertones and everything, but most of the film is just joke-to-joke, you know, funny interaction. Like, some people criticized it for being a little bit too comedic, you know what I mean? Like, a little bit too slapstick. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I think it was really well done. I think it's a great film. I think it's, like I said, it's arguably the best comic book film that we've gotten so far, because it's the one that has really let, like, all of the characters fly their, you know, superhero flag. It showed the power of the teams, the super teams, and how they interact with each other and others. And it was, you know, much like all the other Captain America films, it still had a deep, important story to it. You know what I mean? Like a
right. But if you look at what he writes, it had a good opening 20 minutes, which it was cool. It was thriller. It was political, but it was slow. The opening's a bit slow in Civil War. Said it has to set up the war. It has to set up what is to come in the rest of the film. And then he says, then I can't honestly remember what the movie was about. Did you not? I think he blacked out drunk on this one or something, because after the 20 minutes, which were almost a separate movie, I mean, the three acts are very distinctive in this film and how they play out. Mm-hmm. First act, second act, third act. They're almost three mini small films in here, you know, three small films. He apparently liked the first act, which was slow, and from what I could tell, not the favorite of most people who watched it. The favorite seems to be act two, which is the airport scene, which is tons of comedy, mm-hmm. tons, and action, and still had serious weight to it. And then the third act is where the real weight comes in. I don't know what film he watched either, to be honest. I don't understand these comments.
Well,
I really hope this bleakness didn't extend. Well, the bleak part of that film is T'Challa's father being killed, right? That's the bleak part, and that was needed to set off the Accords.
Right.
So...
Well, it was, you know, you had...
I don't understand.
The two biggest bleak parts of the whole thing are, the you know, T'Challa's father being assassinated... And the third act, the revelation of what happened to the Stark, you know.
Right, but if he's, it sounds like he's basing all this off the first 20 minutes to me.
Well, people who say stuff like he, what was the exact line here? Yeah, okay. When people make the line that honestly, I can't remember what the movie was about, that is hyperbole to the max, dude.
Yeah.
Like that is. That's just, you know, I get the impression that maybe this isn't the movie he would have made.
That's because he killed a dude.
And it's kind of his baby, you know, because he was such a big part of Civil War. And I find that, like, very rarely do the comic creators have positive things to say about the film adaptations of their storylines and their characters. And I don't know what that is. Like, I don't get it, because it's like when we spoke to Jerry a while back, he had very positive things to say about his characters coming to the screen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, he was supportive because he realized that it's a different medium, you know, and I appreciate that, you know, and I just, if any creators are out there listening, like, come on, guys, like, if somebody slam dunks something with a bit of your content or based on your content, support it. Be like, cool, it was different than what I did. And that's the beauty of entertainment, is I told a story, somebody else took that story and told it in a different way, and both were good, and that's great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. Like, it's actually impacted my view of Mark Millar. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little disappointing. Like,
well, and to be fair, this article's pretty choppy where the quotes are concerned. So sure. I would like to see this all in context of what was actually said, because they do a lot of plug and play. Because when you talk about Batman versus Superman, and the writer said fans, quote, should just leave, end quote, and then they say the movie alone, A, that's a poorly written sentence, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And B, what would he say? Was he actually saying they should just walk out?
Or are they saying they should back off and quit fussing? Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't understand what that sentence means either.
Yeah, but, it goes on in this article to say that he listed his top 10 movies of the year, and he included Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And he called it a nice, fun Marvel movie. And I'm like, I don't think that Civil War...
That thing was dark as hell!
Well, yeah, but I don't think that Doctor Strange and Civil War had vastly different recipes.
Tones, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I mean, I think they had the same kind of ingredients and ultimately kind of a similar delivery, which is fine. I mean, that's what we expect out of Marvel now, is like, we're going to get a lot of funnies, we're going to get a lot of cool action, like, we're going to get that childhood wish fulfillment of seeing these amazing characters and what they can do brought to the screen in a really...
Robots
really...
blowing up stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. You showed. you know, the kind of stuff that we fantasized about seeing in film as kids and as young adults, it's come to fruition. It's there. And then we also get exceptional comedy beats, and then there's a real story, a story with weight and a story with consequence. Marvel has done a really good job of weaving in, okay, there's a real story here. Like, it's not all Guardians of the Galaxy where we're just, you know, cowboying around the galaxy, you know, shooting and making jokes. I mean, because that's the one thing about Guardians of the Galaxy, is that it's the least serious of all of them, but that's fine because that's its thing. Mm-hmm. But this is the Captain America, like, I still say Captain America probably should have been an Avengers film, even though it's very much in the vein of what Captain America has been so far, you know, Civil War. So that's the thing, is it's like this, I don't know. I think if you want to look at a template of how to do comic movies right and how to, like, convert a comic event to film or television, you look at Civil War and say, look at this slam dunk. How can we do something like this?
Absolutely, especially when you look at how hamstrung they were with not being able to use certain characters. And and honestly, like, that's the one thing that's got me apprehensive about Logan, is the trailer looks incredible. I'm hoping the story does well. We love Jackman as Wolverine. We love Stewart as Professor X. But there are so many important things involved in doing that old man Logan storyline that they just don't have access to. It's going to be interesting to see how they work around those elements and how they pull the story together in a different way. But it's one of those things that when you have your properties in different production houses and you don't have access to all the toys in the toy box, sometimes it makes me a little nervous to see how those things end up playing out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't say anything better. And honestly, he is entitled to his opinion. And in this, it's just this new world of we have to tear everything up or tear everything down or build it up. You know, oh, Kevin Smith loved this, so it has to be great. Mark Millar hated this, so it has to either it's horrible or he's horrible. And you know what? Just let the man have his opinion. If he didn't like it, he didn't like it. And it's
he's
okay.
Clearly no Alan Moore, so it's
Alan Moore and Frank Miller both.
Yeah. I don't think any of my stuff should be made into anything on a screen ever, because it's all bad.
Oh, well, you know, that's life, I guess.
C'est la vie.
La vie? Okay. Nah, I know. Guys, shut up, everybody. I know. So let me pull up. We got some new copy to read here. So I'm going to move forward. It's one of those days, man. It is one of those days. I've had a blast with my boys, and it's good here. And I just, my mind is all over the place, and it's all right. Not everything works, but it doesn't have to. It's so cool. So, hey, guess what? We have the new read on Loot Crate. And actually, it's right up our alley. It's Epic Gear, all that jazz. It's Origins is the next theme. So, yeah, they don't always become original because it's January, New Year. Ha, ha, ha. Origins. Got it. But I know. Somebody actually wrote it. Somebody actually tweeted us, and I meant to save it, and I let it get away from me. But somebody actually tweeted us and said, hey, listen to you every week. It's hilarious. I'm laughing along. But, you know, maybe making fun of your sponsor is not the best way to read the ad every single time. Like, well, sir, you're right. However, you have not met us. That's what we do. Sorry. So, but I don't know why, but one of the three of us always knocks on Loot Crate somehow, some way in their reads. But we love them. We think they're awesome, and we're glad that they support us. This January, see where it all started and explore the iconic origins with historic items featuring Superman, Captain America, Mario, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and, of course, the monthly T-shirt and a pen. So get in there. Get it now. You've got until the 19th of January at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, to subscribe and receive this month's crate. So if you're going to get started, why not make that your resolution in January? Get started now. Go to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up and enter code giant-size-team-up to save some money off of your new subscription today.
So January box is Origins.
Yeah.
There's
February's going to be Love, right?
There's a name that's conspicuously absent from this box, especially with his movie rolling out in March.
But it's in March. They're not gonna give good loot. I don't believe they'd give good loot to give out before the movie releases. Do you?
I'm just saying that if you're gonna call it Origins, there's a guy that had a very successful comic run that, you know, was titled Wolverine Origins. Why don't you throw him in? I'm just saying.
It brings back such horrible memories of the movie.
Well, come on. Come on. So you just make sure that it's comic, not movie.
Have you looked in your loot crate lately? Most of the gear comes from movies.
Question. That is a personal question. I would appreciate it if you didn't ask it on the air.
Here's a PSA. All men should look in their loot crate box at least once a month to make sure they're healthy. This has been a PSA.
What? please remember to examine your loot crate box and take a shower.
Palpitate the loot crate.
First you gently lift the flaps up. And then out.
And then you open the rest of the box.
I don't even know what gender this loot crate is at this point.
Do you dare presume it's gender, sir?
Right. How dare you, Chris? Get out. So, hey, I thought it'd be fun if we talked about, it's coming towards the end of the year. We are going to wrap up. Our actual final episode of the year will be the Rogue One recap and maybe Westworld. So, you know, let's talk about our favorite moments throughout the year of podcasting stuff, because Lord knows you boys get all bitter when we talk about other stuff and 2016, blah, blah, blah. But we've actually brought on a number of great shows in the network that I listed here, but we don't have to stick to that. You can stick to your favorite moments of comic book stuff, whatever you guys like. But since Klotz isn't listening when I talk, I'll throw it to Chris. Chris, what is one of your favorite moments from 2016 this year?
What was that?
I should have known. I trusted you, Klotz. I don't trust Klotz for crap. I trusted you, Wisdom. You backstabber.
So just for the record, then, so this moment is quickly rising to the top, but there was a Weasley episode in there, too, that'll always be in the top 10. And
Well, and you know what? Before we go on our stories that we're about to go on, which sounds like fun, I want to throw that to the audience as well. Hey, we've got another show to record. You've got a week to get your stuff in. So if you want to talk about your favorite moments from this year, it can be movies, comics, it can be our show, moments from our show, which we'd love to hear. It can be other podcasts, whatever. We want to hear what made 2016 great for you, and we'll read it on the next show or even the one after if we have to. But Klotz, you were starting to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say how delicious the flavor of this moment is because of all the salt. The salt is glorious. It really enhances it.
I hate you boys so much. You know what? Travis Jones will hopefully be on soon. He's one of my favorites. He always, always likes me. He always gives Chris hell. He's always fun. And the Blazing Defender Report is one of our shows on at Giant Size Team Up Network. And he just... I don't keep up with comics from week to week, so I pretty much have zero interest in listening to a show that does, because I'm not going to read them. It's fine. But I got to tell you, his show, it doesn't matter. He could talk about car parts, which would put me to sleep normally, and I would find his show interesting. He's got such energy and such funness to him. And when it comes on, he absolutely can keep up with you ball breakers in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, it's good that you found the strength to express your bromance. We're fond of Travis too, but man, you're basically writing an audio love letter here.
I don't understand why you would go to Reek for your support.
You know, he's a Samson. When he grows that beard back, he's going to be the baddest ass mofo on the network, and you better watch out, Chris.
There's
he's
one thing you can't grow back, and I already took care of that. Samson is Delilah forever.
Well, something that I don't think you guys actually know is he was one of the early shows that wanted to be a part of the network. He approached us. He had been listening to From the Helicarrier, heard we were starting a network. And he actually went to such lengths after I'd actually already made the decision that, yeah, we'll coach him, we'll bring him on, we'll work with him. He's got a lot of energy and spirit. He actually got, I think, two different people, one a college professor, that's his mentor, to write professional emails as a letter of recommendation to have him on the network. I was like, damn. Klaus, what are you doing, man? You ain't doing nothing. He's writing emails and getting people to say, I want to be on this network. Klaus is like, yeah, I'll show up for the show. It's whatever. It's fine. Yeah. So that's, I thought that was very interesting, and it's something people should know about him as well. Yeah. All right, fine. Go cry. I'll get you.
Yeah,
because
I didn't
pretty.
Write any emails that got me on FTH originally or anything like that. Like, I didn't reach out and, you know.
You reached out.
You just make it sound like I just like showed up one day and you were like, all right, we'll take this riffraff off the street.
You didn't have a presidential recommendation or anything.
He saw Paul and said, Batman doesn't have the market cornered on young adolescent boys.
You know, I actually resisted the crap out of Paul when he first, because he did. He's like, hey, guys, I've kind of run a forum before. I'm not mocking you. I don't remember exactly what it was, but you were listing your history of giving some credentials.
I just wanted to
right?
write articles for your silly show about the game I like.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, I want to do this. And somehow we asked, I don't remember if you asked or we asked, but you were like, I can be a call screener. Oh, no, you were going to feed us information as we're talking.
Yeah.
So you were on the call, basically. And then Ibbot was going to be out one week. He's like, why don't you try Paul? I'm like, why don't you shut the F up? You know? Because my background was I had people always pushing in, always trying to be a part of what I did. And, you know, it was like, hey, I've had a lot of bad experiences. But sure enough, we tried Paul. And while he's admittedly was rough around the edges for a podcaster, you handled it. You did well. You're fun. And at the end of it, you convinced me, like, all right, you know, you can sub in again. And then very quickly that grew into you became a part of the team and the on-air team and went from there. And then you left us. Like, and I was afraid you would. Hurt my heart.
That was really what your apprehension was about, is you just couldn't love again and be hurt again.
Perhaps. Perhaps so.
What did you just hit, Charles? It sounds like a gong.
I love that. It's the way my desk is built and the way that mic's attached to it. I can do that. Listen. That's it does awesome. Kind of like it goes boom. So, Klaus, what's one of your favorite memories from this year?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, see, because you know I'm such a negative person that there's just been so much pain and suffering this year. All right, all joking aside, it has been a pretty cruddy year by a lot of measures, but there's been a lot of good, too. I don't know, man. Like, we've had a lot of fun this year on the show. I mean, the Weasley moment happened this year, back in the beginning of the year. Had a lot of fun with.
And you handled that so well. You did so good.
Oh, well, yeah. I actually do think my favorite moment of the year was when I was like, Chris, you're wrong, and it's going to feel so good when you find out. And even though, like, in the middle of me emoting it, I was like, I'm wrong, 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 I'm wrong. This is going to end in disaster, but it's going to be funny. So, yeah, no, that was probably the highlight of the year was my hubris and the inevitable fallout. So
yeah, it's been great. And honestly, we miss Ibbit. Ibbit was a part of the show for the first part of the year, and his life changed up, then work changed up. And honestly, you know, he needed to focus on everything he needed to focus on. And it gave us the impetus to really jump in hard, the three of us, and do this. And it just has snowballed in a good way. And it's become every week, it doesn't matter what kind of week I'm having, what kind of bad juju is going on. Cause there's been some lately. I mean, the last episode, I actually came into it really pissed off and angry. And then you would never know on the show because these guys just make me laugh and we have so much fun and talk about the stories that we talk about. And that's the heart of what the show is. It makes me very happy. So I guess what I'm saying is one of my happiest moments of this year is Emmett leaving the show.
Oh my God.
That's not what I meant at all. That's not where I was going, but well, there it is.
I was going to make a joke and say it made it easier for him to fill his probation requirements, but you go right ahead, Charles.
Wow.
No, you know, but then that's the flip side of what has happened this year is Brian Emmett and I worked really hard on From the Helicarrier and really built this comic book thing that was going. And Klotz jumped right in early on and made it much bigger than it ever was originally. And we started Giant Size Team Up, which officially launched basically January 1st of 2016. And Breaking the Panel was something we all developed, the three of us developed together, Klotz and Ibbit and I. And we never were quite sure where it was going to go. But because of what we had done with From the Helicarrier and what we were doing with Giant Size Team Up, an opportunity came around. And it was all about Pokemon Go. And Bo York, who runs the podastery.net, I think it is. And it's supposed to be like a monastery for podcasts. It's an interesting name. And he approached Ibbit going into Podcast Movement in July of this past year. And Ibbit sent him over to me because I was going to be there before Ibbit was. And we arranged to meet up. And he was telling me about Pokemon Go podcast.com and how he had bought it. And see, I said, wow, that's really smart. You looked ahead. And then he's talking about he does Flash Talk TV. And I got to listening to that. I was like, oh, that's a really cool show. That would balance out on our network. It would be fun to have you on here. And so I made a phone call or arranged for a phone call. And the short of it is he wanted to give us the Pokemon Go show because of what Klotz and Ibbit and I had started and had built throughout the year. And he had not heard Breaking the Panel. That's why Wisdom's not in this story at all at this point. But he saw what we had he didn't know that Klotz was the one who beat us to death with the word infrastructure, but he saw that we had the infrastructure and then everything was in place. And sure enough, it was such a smooth transition. And that has been one of our best shows on the network. Numbers wise and audience wise has been Pokemon Go podcast. And that has been a blast to do with Ibbit every week as well. A whole different flavor of show than I'm used to. It's definitely more the Morning Stream flavor, I think, more Coverville-esque, which is a good thing, but definitely less ball breaking. There's no ball breaking on that show at all, really. But it was a really cool thing.
I don't know. You get kicked in the nuts quite a bit.
All right, fine, whatever. I don't know. But no, that's been an interesting ride, and this team being Chris, myself, Mike, Ibbit, and Klotz building the network has been such a hodgepodge of people to come together, and yet instantly it's working and things are coming together, and people are joining the network. And I want to talk about Klotz. Do you remember how Chris actually came about to even be a part of what we do?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Chris took the initiative to try to. This is a little bit of inside baseball for you guys, but Chris approached us because he went to a Kevin Smith show, one of his Q&As, I believe it was, right, Chris?
Yep.
And he had this brilliant idea. He's like, I like listening to FTH. Those guys are crazy and cool. I'm going to try to talk to Kevin Smith and see if I can get him to go be on their show or something. And this was around the time that we were just starting to mess with Breaking the Panel. So it was late last year, 2015. Mm-hmm. We'd probably done, oh man, what, like two or three episodes?
Maybe, yeah. We'd done some pilot runs, yeah.
And so I think you missed Kevin, right? But you somehow got in touch with, you ended up calling the Stash, didn't you?
Yep, he's called the Stash.
Yeah, he called the Secret Stash of Comic Book Men fame. And he started talking to Walt. And, you know, some other people there a little bit here and there. And we set up a call, and we ended up trying to get Walt and Mike Zapsik, but Walt wasn't available. So Mike Zapsik came and was our first, you know, like, real guest, like a guest that, you know, wasn't just from one of our other shows or something like that.
Right.
Somebody from outside of the network, you know, the new burgeoning network and, you know, our circle of other podcasting people. And he came on, and we had a great time. And so, you know, Chris was offering to be pretty helpful behind the scenes, you know, and that's one of those things, like, people tend to, like, come out of the woodwork sometime. When you're doing something positive, when you're doing something that's gaining some momentum, all of a sudden, talented people just appear. In our case, we got Chris.
Or hangers-on. people just want to ride that star.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know I said talented people, but I didn't want to imply anything about Chris. I mean, he's enthusiastic and all, but, you know, talent, not so much. Now, in any case, you know, Chris, like I said, Chris was enthusiastic and he was helpful. And so we got talking a little bit more, and, you know, pretty early on, I was like, you know, why don't we give this crazy kid a chance? Why don't we pull him into the fold a little bit? And
I resisted that too. I was like,
yeah, a little bit. But the more I talk, like, I had a few phone conversations with Chris, and I, like, the excitement comes through when he speaks, and, you know, other things of dubious praise. You know what I mean? I was just like, well, he's knowledgeable. He's excited. He's into what we're doing. Why don't we consider bringing him on board? And it's not all that different from what happened with myself with Brian and Charles on FTH, is that somebody enthusiastic came forward, offered to contribute some, you know, back end assistance and whatnot. And then I yeah.
Sorry. My bad.
Yeah. And then, you know, here we are several months later, and, you know, you're part of the team. You know, Chris is part of the team. Chris, for a lot of people who don't realize, Chris and Mike do a lot of our behind-the-scenes stuff. Mike edits all of our shows. Well, many of the shows on the network, but he definitely edits all of Breaking the Panel. And Chris does our show notes, and so he goes back and listens to episodes again to pull out things to put in those awesome show notes and make all those witty puns and horrible jokes and other things of dubious quality. But, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into the behind-the-scenes stuff to try to make this show the best show that, I mean, quite frankly, to work with subpar ingredients to whip up a feast for you every week. So, you know, I do want to, like, give proper praise to Chris for joining us and being an awesome member of this team, but also to Mike, who's on the back end, who does all the editing. And he joined us last week, though, so hopefully by the time you listen to this, you'll have heard an episode where Mike got to come in and finally, because we recorded real late for last week's episode, and so Mike was like, oh, it's outside of business hours from his day job, and he was available, and he's like, can I join you guys? And we're like, I guess. And so we did it. We had a really good time because he's awesome as well. And Mike does, Charles, you want to plug Mike's other projects too?
Mike at themike.com is M-I-K-E at A-T, not a symbol, at themic.com is his voiceover work. And he's got some amazing talent to do voiceover. And here you hear him as Mike. He's on the show as Mike. He does the voiceover as Mike. But he can do what you would imagine for all the movie trailers and, you know, the commercial stuff. You're on the phone and anything like that. And he actually has some regular clients that if you're in certain casinos in certain parts of the U.S., you might hear his voice come over and make the announcements for what's going on. So he does some great work over there.
Absolutely.
And he produces Rock Out of Podcasting. He does a great job there, too.
Does he? I mean.
Well, I mean, I make it awesome to start with. So, you know, he's just like, yep, done.
It's awesome. I mean, to be fair, it sounds good.
That sounds like a really exciting show. Maybe one of these days I'll check it out.
Maybe one of these days you'll send in a question and actually have a reason to listen. Hey, you know what? I want to throw in the ad real quick, and then I got some more questions for the guys. And we definitely want to talk more about the shows, because we want you to know about the other shows we have on the network going on. So stay tuned, listen to this awesome stuff, and you know there's some hilarity to come. And we're back, and I did say hilarity, not Hillary-ty, coming, so no politics here. No, sir. But one last question on the whole Chris thing. Now, one thing that did surprise the crap out of me about Chris was how well he wrote, because he did not lead with that. He buried the lead, actually, with that. Like, yeah, I really just want to help out, guys. I want to be part of the crew, guys. And yes, that's how I heard you when you first started talking to me, is the 13-year-old little brother who wants to come play. And he offered a couple of different things. I realized how bad this was going to sound mid-sentence as I was spitting it out, but it's not intended this way. But he offered a number of different services that he could help with. And yeah, he nailed the Mike Zapsik thing. And at some point, I was like, hey, I really need some help writing show notes. I am so bogged down in getting things published and doing all that myself. He's like, well, maybe you can show me and I can do it. I was like, well, I can't teach you to write, but you know, it's got to be better than what I'm doing, because I'm copying and pasting things, you know, just bullet points for notes. So
let's establish the legitimate timeline here. You started doing the show notes and you were just copying and pasting things, and that drove me crazy.
Right.
So I was like, I guess I'll do it, except I realized within a couple shows that I hated it.
Hate it. Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. Hated writing the show notes. Just not my thing. Not something that it really spoke to me. But Chris, when we offered it to him, he was like, sure, I'll try.
Well, to be fair, the first shot I got, I believe, was the Phantom Menace episode. So I was like, oh, I get to write Star Wars funny stuff? Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Chris has been crushing it since then. Chris's references are on point, but they do sometimes cause confusion internally, and those are my favorite moments.
Those are, yeah. There's been once or twice I'm like, even I had to go, what? And then I felt stupid because, oh yeah, I should have gotten that, my bad. Now I will say he gets his heart broken, because at first he just assumed we read every word and looked at everything, and when the reality was like, oh, thank God I don't have to do this now, I can go focus on the 58,000 other things I'm doing. And it's posted good. He's like, nobody saw the Easter eggs I'm hiding in the notes. I'm like, oh baby, I'm sorry, the show the listeners might see that, but no, we ain't gonna see that, because we're like, hey, Chris has got it, we're good. We move on. So we broke his heart at first. I do apologize for that, man. But I'm sure you buried some really great references in there that nobody saw. And, you know, for those who listen, you want to go back and find it. That's what Chris does. He'll hide some fun references in the notes. And
oh, yeah.
Those kind of things. I honestly don't remember how the hell he got on the microphone, though.
Chris, how did we first get you on a show?
It started out trying to get a little bit of lead time. So I was that guy that was, I was listening to the show as it was happening so I could make notes as it was going. So it gave me a little bit more lead time on the show notes versus waiting for the...
Which is exactly how Klotz started.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much.
And then I think one day it was Brian was back and Charles was just like, hey, do you want to be on the show? I said, okay. And it was...
I must have been drunk.
It was... The Force Awakens episode. Is the Force Awakens?
Oh
episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, I think we were trying to we owe him one for Mike Zapsik. We gotta do all right. We'll tell him about it.
Yeah, and it was
he likes bones.
Chris internally, we knew Chris was a huge, huge Star Wars fan, and he was really knowledgeable. So I think I think I might have lobbed that one out there and been like, let's have Chris on because he knows a lot about Star Wars and his perspective will be useful and interesting because I know Charles won't.
And I think, oh, damn it.
Zing.
And I do believe my response, though, besides that, was, all right, well, that's fine, because this mess is on you if he tanks it hard.
Right.
And then he didn't, and it was all right. And then he's here. And it's good.
And here we are.
Here we are. Here's some other shows, because we're going to get to this top one in a minute, because Chris actually brought that. But as you know, we've mentioned DC On Screen many times. Jason and David do a fantastic job covering everything over there. They are my religion. I do follow them as my Lord and Savior, DC On Screen, and it's all good. And you know what? I don't care what Chris says about it. I love their opinions. I feel with them, and I like getting my news that way. So there. I'm gonna vote for them to build a wall for Mexico or something. MCUcast was the first actual show that we found that joined the network. They actually joined what was called the Helicarrier Network back before we actually got a real name and branded it that way. So MCUcast has done a great job this year as well. That's Jeff Randall and Matt Carroll. And Jeff actually came to DragonCon. He's been on this show a number of times. He's been on Pokemon Go a few times. And he came to DragonCon, and for whatever reason, I could never get his name right. I introduced him as Matt Carroll. I introduced him as Jeff Carroll. I introduced him as Matt Randall once or twice. I just could not get Jeff Randall out. And he just rolled with it. He was a great sport. And then I kind of did the sorry, not sorry thing. Cause like I got a million things going on. I am sorry. Cause I know your name. I feel like shit for not. And yeah, you can believe that, but I feel like that for not actually getting your name out. That's important. But at the same time, I'm not going to sleep for 4 days. I got stuff to do. So sorry, not sorry. And I got him on the panel and he was cool with it. So, and we already talked about it. So the last two are fun to talk about, but I want to let you talk, Chris, about the newest show to the network. It is a D&D podcast, and you had me start listening to these guys and you tell a story. Go for it.
All right, so it's a D&D podcast, but it puts the hard R in RPG. I love it. These guys are insane with their stories. They develop when the DM's on, he's got a well-developed storyline to follow, and they are just all quick-witted. And so it's like us playing D&D with a lot more Cards Against Humanity elements involved.
Oh yeah.
The things these guys say, you even I sometimes like, God, these are horrible people. And it makes me love it even more. I can't get enough of this show. To make it an even larger selling point to Charles, they start, drinking probably an hour before they start filming the show, recording the show. And then
I do love shows that drink, man.
It just goes straight through, and you can tell from the beginning of the show to the end of the show how far down in a bottle they are. So,
yeah, it was a lot of fun. And Chris was like, hey, he actually phrased it, I know we're in a moratorium of signing new shows, but can you listen to this? And I did. I gave him a listen, and I actually asked Joe Ard to take a listen because he plays D&D, and I said, hey, man, they might offend your sensibilities. And I listened to one episode, and it wasn't that bad. There were some, because you know how I talk. We all talk. Okay, if you ever meet us in person, we are straight geeks with mouths. I mean, we talk dirty. We say bad jokes. We make each other laugh, and that's what we do, and that's how we do it. We've chosen to keep it a hard PG-13 here on the show to try to reach a broader audience, but we all appreciate the dirty humor. And so a lot of that just – it doesn't register with me, right? If you're cussing – I cuss, so it's just everyday language. I don't register it. And if you're telling the dirty jokes, it doesn't quite register. And so I asked Joe – who is the opposite of all that. Joe is an upright standing citizen and saintly and goes to church every Sunday and won't watch Deadpool because it's too hard of an R for him. And, it's great for you, man. It's fine. I didn't think about that when I said, hey, you love D&D, right? He said, yeah, I love D&D. I said, would you listen? Because I think these guys are funny, but I don't know crap about D&D. So I need a D&D expert to listen. And then I'm listening to a second episode, Chris, and they said something about certain parts of gnomes rubbing together. I was like, oh, okay. So it cracked me up, right? But I was like, as soon as I got to a stopping point, because I was in my car, it's usually where I listen to podcasts, I immediately hit Joe up on Voxer and was like, hey, man, you might not need to listen to this show anymore. I do apologize if you did. They're a bit dirtier than I anticipated, so thanks, but you don't have to. He's like, no, I'd already listened, and it's fine. Because Joe's a great guy. I mean, he is not judgmental. He's not like, oh, my God, that was so horrible. He's like, no, well, I wouldn't listen to it on a regular basis. It's fine. I was doing a job. It's all good. And he gave me his opinion, and they are exactly what they said they are. some people in Appalachian Mountains got together, started drinking, had a loose,
morals and a questionable understanding of the rules. There you
go. Loose morals and questionable understanding of the rules, and that's exactly what they give. And then he gave me another show to listen to that I'm still processing. It's called Sneak Attack, and they're serious, and they do the voices, and they know the rules, and they're very entertaining as well. But Joe, actually, poor Joe, I felt bad for dropping that bomb on him. But then he's on Pokemon Go podcast, if you're interested. So yeah, Botch, those guys have been fun. They're the newest additions this year to the network, and we're still working on getting everything integrated and installed and put up. But definitely give them a listen if you like the dirty humor and D&D based rules, because they're kind of basically doing a Fallout 4 scenario right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in the last few episodes, both a take on Tijuana donkey shows and docking are a thing on the show. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god! Like space docking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, no. You know what's bad when Charles devolves into alternating yes and no.
You really should listen to this, Klotz. I'm telling you, you will not put the show down.
I feel like you listen to this while you sit in your shower and just let the rain pour, the water pour all over you and cleanse you.
Wow, it's good stuff. I mean, they are good. Brian Brushwood said at DragonCon this year at a comedians panel. He was one of the comedians on the panel. He said he read some book by some famous guy. I honestly can't remember where the quote came from, but he was serious. He read this book by some famous guy, and this is the quote that stuck with him, and he shared it with all the people who wanted to do comedy and podcasts. And he said, people laugh for two reasons, according to this gentleman. They laugh because they're surprised, or they laugh because they're better than you, or they think they're better than you. You know, they're laughing at you. And Botched is both. They will make you laugh because you think you're better than them, and they will surprise the crap out of you. But the whole time, you will laugh. It's amazing. It's fun. And they actually have better grip of the rules than they think, I think. They definitely can tell a story, and that gets me every week. And then I guess the last one to really discuss is one of my most infamous appearances on another show is Booze and Phasers. And I think, Chris, you tell that one actually better than I do.
I think there should be probably a hard and fast rule against Charles actively drinking while being on another person's show. It was DragonCon. And they had a live panel. They did a live show, and Charles was on it, and somebody cannot handle his liquor. Not from a throwing up standpoint, but from a responsibility standpoint.
I listened back, and I remember 90% of it. I did not make two guys kiss. That was not me at all. You know, somebody else did that with the alcohol.
You just happen to be one of the two guys. No.
Actually, unfortunately, no.
But no, it is so good. The ladies over there that are the hosts of that show are incredible. They host with such aplomb, and they bring such grace to a show where Charles did his level best to destroy it like a drunken uncle.
Kinda, yeah.
It is definitely worth a listen, but if you would like an actual Booze and Phaser show, all of their other shows are very high quality. Not to say that Charles made it less quality. It was just an interesting
reactionary
episode.
I fit the niche 100. Okay, so here's the thing with alcohol, right? It just turns up your personality. I do not play a character on this show, on any show I do. I bring myself to the table. So you can imagine any inhibitions I have, any kind of pauses to let other people speak, any kind of volume control that I might have, all that goes away with alcohol. And they kept pouring me heavy on purpose. You know, they started heavy. They started a drinking game. They did that. They brought that on themselves. That's all I'm saying.
Did you just give a Westworld reading to alcohol?
No comment.
That it brings out the...
All right. We are about out of here. But I do want to say one thing about this year. We did go on about how Chris has done great and he's joined the team. But I want to say Klotz has actually done really, really well. This network probably would not be here if it weren't for him. Because Ebbett and I were just going along on our own path. And Klotz is the one who came in and said, this should be more serious and more legitimate. And he added that with From the Helicarrier. Which, by the way, if you don't know what that show is, it's a retired show now. The game was Marvel Avengers Alliance on Facebook and at the time Playdom.com. And then eventually just became Facebook and then eventually was retired. The servers were retired. So the show's retired. But as we came together and then this magic happened with the three of us where Klotz brought in the stats and this understanding that neither Ebbett nor I really had. The depth that he had there. And we brought in all this other stuff. And he let me free to be the drunken uncle, which is kind of what I do on everything I do just about. It really built well. And then building this network and him just standing his ground and saying, we need infrastructure. We need this. And I've learned in the past when I really want to build something and I'm willing to take on partners with that, that I need to listen. And listening has really helped steer the ship in a very legitimate way, and it's been very good. And not all of our conversations have been pleasant. I mean, Klotz will tell you. I actually yelled at him the other day. Well, actually, I wasn't yelling at you as much as at the person you were talking about, but it's been wise counsel and it's been fun. And honestly, my whole goal in every show, this is why I go the drunken uncle route, because of Klotz. It's his fault. Because my whole goal with every episode that he's on that I do, I just want to hear that belly laugh that just sets it, that we lose him for a good minute. Because there's just such joy. It makes me so happy. Like, if I can make him laugh like that, I've done my job for the episode. And so I'm glad you're here.
I thought you lived for the groans. The
I do that too, a little bit, to be honest.
Disappointment and shame. I'm sure it translates quite well.
That's the dark side of it. Emmett was much better at that, though. If I could, my goal with Emmett was if I could get, oh gosh, Charles, yeah. out of him. And I yeah. did my job.
Emmett's disapproval has a certain weight to it. Like it's like it's one of those things where you would say something and he would do that, and then the rest of us would just get very quiet for a moment. and
I would just be laughing and laughing. Like, oh, there's the line, found it. You know, I'm shooting for that line every time. But I am very, very happy with this adventure and with the family we've built and the structure that we've put together and everything that's going to be going forward. Again, you know, check out our other shows, Botched, Booze and Phasers, Blazing Defender Report, MCU Cast, DC On Screen, Pokemon Go. Of course, this one, Breaking the Panel, is so much fun, and we hope you enjoy it as well. And but the people here are what makes this happen. And we got some new stuff coming out, I do believe.
Yeah, for our comic fans, you know, a lot of you who come here to BTP, you come here for the comic fix. We used to have a show on the network very early on called Panel by Panel that Charles helmed. And Chris and I, of BTP fame, are going to take that show over in the new year. We're starting to slot in recording times, you know, right around the holidays here going into the new year. So come January, hopefully by about mid-January, you'll hear the first episode. And, you know, that'll be coming back. And then last year, around this time, I was plugging a gaming show that never came to be in the past year. But we're looking to move that forward as well and get that out, you know, very early in the first quarter of 2017 here. So there's some exciting new stuff coming along. That'll be a general, like, talking about tabletop, talking about digital, all kinds of different gaming things. Because it's, I'll tell you, for you gamers at home, this is the golden age of gaming. I say that because there's just so much to choose from and so much to get excited about. So and some stuff to even complain about, which is, you know, my forte.
Your bread and butter. Yeah. So it's going to be a great 2017. We're definitely getting born to what we love to do. And that's the heart of this whole network, though, is people who get together who love what they're talking about. And it has to be geeky, nerdy, comic book based, somewhere in that range, you know, something we all can identify with that's not having that need met somewhere else. But you have to love what you're talking about, and you have to love who you're talking about it with. And that's been, as we've built this network, it just became that, right? It just became this. Well, for this show, three guys sitting around having fun because we want to show up and talk to each other. We can't wait to. We're holding Rogue One. You guys are holding it for me now, and I appreciate it. But you're doing the geeky pee pee dance. Well, can we talk? Can we talk? Can we talk? I want to talk. But you're holding it to talk together for the three of us.
Geeky dance, huh?
Yeah, the geeky pee-pee dance.
That's a thing. That's going to be a thing for a while.
Let's make that a t-shirt. And that's something that's going to come in the new year. We're going to launch a store that will have stuff that you can buy.
Merchandise and swag. So you
yeah,
can,
man.
You know, fly your freak flag for us. You know what I mean?
And we'll make that a hoodie, the geeky pee-pee dance. And we'll put a little stick figure holding up Spock fingers and holding his crotch together.
we need to get a yogurt soundbite here. Merchandising.
Breaking the panel, the sequel.
Breaking the panel, the flamethrower.
I want it now. Do you guys have anything else to say before we get out of here tonight?
No.
Of course not. All right. Well, you know what? I've talked about everywhere you can find us. One quick reminder is patreon.com/breakingthepanel. You can support what we do. BTP@giantsizeteamup.com. Facebook.com/breakingthepanel. Twitter's @panelbreakers. And, of course, the site is giantsizeteamup.com/breakingthepanel, where you can leave a speak pipe voicemail. Any device has a microphone. You can record it right there. And, actually, Stuart Jones, one of our biggest fans and supporters of the show, he had actually left a voicemail that nothing came through. I will be emailing him just so we can get it again, so he can message us. But just to let you know, Stuart, since I know you listen, that the audio did not come through for some reason. But we appreciate you.
It sounded a lot like your left butt cheek.
So, all right. All that being said, I look forward to the next episode where we actually can talk about Rogue One. And that's where Chris will say,
"Oh my God, I can't believe they did that."
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.